you God's Word, open up to begin with in the book of Psalm, chapter number 61, and then we'll be all over the New Testament as the Lord will allow and lead tonight. Had no idea that Woody had asked Macy to sing, and then when he did ask her to sing, I had no idea what she would sing, but the message could not have been more fitting for her song could not have been more fitting for the message that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this evening. Because I'm preaching about my own mountain moving experience. For those that don't know, I've been to the end and back. If I wasn't at the end, I could see it from where I was at. I preached a message a few weeks ago here on a Sunday morning about that the storm clouds were lowering. Some of y'all remember that. Some of you weren't here and preached about the darkening of the day and the darkening of the storm clouds. But little did I know that I myself would end up in the midst of a whirlwind or in the midst of a storm. And you say, well, what happened? Ain't nothing happened. It's just life. It's life's events. It's things that come about. It's being a pastor. It's being a husband. It's being a daddy. It's daily living. It's just, you're just inundated with the daily tasks that come our way. And if you could put your finger on it, then you could certainly eliminate that one thing that's troubling you. But when there's multiple angles and multiple sources of struggle and all the things that come your way and you can't put a finger on, you cannot identify what it is specifically, and you don't know what the source of the problem is, you better go to the only thing that you can hang on to, and that's the only unmovable thing in your life, and that is your faith. And that's what I have found that I've had to do. I'm telling you, Sunday I was not fit to be here. Wasn't fit to stand, wasn't fit to preach. And as you can see, I just got up, read the 135th division of the book of Psalm, and then a few testified, and we went home. And that was that. But tonight, the Lord has seemingly given us a message concerning my own mountain moving experience. And you said, then you took a little bit of faith and you've moved a mountain. No, that mountain's still there. That thing's just as big as it ever was. It's just as tall as it ever was. It's just as steadfast as it ever was. You said, I thought you said it was mountain moving. Preacher, I did. I'm the one moving. The mountain remains the same. Folks, we're not supposed to stay up there on the top. I'm convinced of that. The day you get saved, you're at the top. I mean, that is as high as you can possibly go. When God sees you in your sin and He convicts you of that sin, and I mean, bless God, He starts to squeeze your heart, show you that you are the one for that particular moment in time. Brother Danny, you are the one that the message is for. It's going out and reaching 200 ears or 400 ears, depending on how many people's here. But bless God, that particular message is for you, and you realize that, and then you come forward and you bow your knee and you confess yourself lost and you confess yourself an unworthy, unjust sinner before God, and then you acknowledge that He is the Savior. He is the one that can redeem you from the curse of the law. And He's the one that can cleanse you and make you whole and make you a fitting subject for the kingdom of heaven. Bless God, He takes you from that lowest of the low, that muckiest of the mire. And bless God, He then establishes your way. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I mean, He cleans you up and He takes you to that mountaintop experience. Man, that thing it's great. Man, you can see everywhere when you're up there, Brother Lewis. You get up there on the very top of the mountain. You get up as high as you can go. You can keep going and going and going. And basically, you just see everything from up there. You can see everything from the top of the mountain. Everything looks great. Man, you're above it all. You've risen. You've soared like eagles. The Bible said, they that mount up with wings as eagles. And that's the way you feel, Miss Wanda. You just feel like you're just above it all. But boy, how narrow that peak is. How narrow that pinnacle is, and how quickly you leave that lofty place. And then you find yourself back somewhere between. That's what I want to preach about, our mountain, my mountain moving experience. I've been all over that mountain, up one side, down the other. I've been at the bottom, I've been at the top, and I've been in between. That's what I'm going to preach about tonight with the Lord as my help. So good to see y'all here tonight. I miss several people that's not here. You can tell my little brother, my baby brother, that I miss him. I was looking forward to seeing him. He's been worried about me. My little brother, we just developed a bond, and at 2 or 3 in the morning, he's praying for me and sending me texts and praying for you, brother. I love you, brother. Is everything okay, brother? And he's not the only one. I've gotten texts from many people that are plugged in to the Lord. And no, I mean, it's not hard to see whenever one of my brothers or sisters hurting. And when you're down, I see it and you see it. We all see it. And, I appreciate all the encouragement. I appreciate the prayers. Like I said, I'm back off the bottom now, and I'm coming up, starting to climb again. So let's just look and see what God's got for us tonight. We'll start in the 61st division of Psalm. We're going to read that because this is a prayer of the overwhelmed. Yeah, I'd invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word tonight if you can. By way of introduction, or by the way of announcement, I know that Brother Justin announced the youth choir singing tomorrow night. If you've got a little one that generally sings, please have them either here at 6 o'clock or there in Rhonda at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. If you don't know where it's at, go past East Wilkes High School about a mile, and you're going to turn right before you get to Southeastern Cars and Parts off of 268. There's a little brick church out there, a little white brick church just off of 268. If you look, you can see the steeple. You can't see the church, but I think you can see the steeple. And there's a sign right there on the right. Brother Troy, where's Troy? He's here tonight. He was here. Oh, he's doing teaching downstairs in the children's church. Troy is preaching and Brother Chris is preaching. So we've got two of our own down there tomorrow night in a youth revival. And Brother Chris is, I don't know who's going first, but they're both down there preaching. And our youth choir is doing the special singing tomorrow night. So if you've got one that's going to usually participates, please have them down there. Let's represent the Lord and represent our church family and pray for these two as they preach. They'll both do a wonderful job. I'm sure they always do. But they're going to need your prayers. I need your prayers, and I know if anytime somebody's standing, they would be in interest of your prayers. Brother James, you didn't want to preach tonight, did you? Last Wednesday night, brother, you got close. I asked for the God called preachers to stand up, and Brother James looked like he was spring loaded. He jumped up, and I was ready for him to take the helm, but he backed out pretty quick. 61st division of Psalm, verse number 1. Like I said, this is a prayer of the overwhelmed. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I ask Brother Steve Mahaffey, if you will, to bless our scripture reading. And this cry of the overwhelmed is a cry that no doubt in my mind every single one of us has had to make at some point in time. If you were overwhelmed by sin, this is on the other side of your salvation experience. He had to get you to that point of lowness. He had to get you to that point of being overwhelmed. Brother Lewis, there was no way out. You were shackled by the bonds that held you. Those bonds of sin enslaved you. It was the taskmaster, which is none other than Satan himself, that did his bidding in your life. You went where he wanted you to go. You did what he wanted you to do. You never gave regard to what God was doing. I mean, somebody might have asked you, would you come to church? And you might have even given them, I'll think about it, or I'll pray about it. Or maybe I will. But all the while you knew good and well you were not going to that place because that was the place where conviction fell. And when conviction falls, Brother Steve, you're going to have to acknowledge it. You're either going to have to shovel it on back to the one behind you, or you're going to have to embrace it for your own. Too many times, I'm afraid that we shovel it on back thinking that it's not for us. But my goodness, my friend, it seems like every preacher that ever preaches anymore, whether it's one of the young preachers, one of the elder preachers, it seems like everybody's hitting me broadside. And you said, do you live that low? I'm not talking about being low in sin. I'm talking about my spiritual walk with Christ. I told you I'm going to preach about that moving and my mountain moving experience. Brother Tim, I'm never, it seeming like at the pinnacle anymore. It seemed like I start around this side of the mountain. And Brother Kenny, it'll start getting steep. And Brother Chris, I'll start getting into the rough places. And brother, I don't know anybody here hike. Anybody like to walk and maybe go up on the mountain? I got a few hikers. If you ever see me running or hiking, take off. Something's after us, Brother Daniel. But anyway, sometimes you start getting into those old craggy cliffs and rocks. Sometimes just maybe the incline that was at about a 6% grade, brother, that thing starts turning on upward now. And as you start going up through there, you start sweating. And next thing you know, you start struggling. Maybe the rocks are starting to give way under your feet. Maybe there's some loose leaves in the path. So what's the natural tendency to do? Is it to dig in deeper and just to go straight up the side of the hill, or to find some easier pathway? So many times, Brother Dennis, we'll try to find an easier pathway. And bless God, we better go with God. It doesn't matter how hard the climb is. He'll give you strength to climb. Just keep on climbing. Because if you say, well, I'll just go back down now for a little while. Bless God, if you keep going up, but then you decide I can't go anymore and I'll just go down for a while, Brother Archie, you're never going to get back to the top. You're never going to reach the top if every time you reach a rough place and you decide it's getting too hard for me. Bless God, it is too hard for us. Every bit of it's too hard for us. And these people that say that God won't put more on you than you're able to bear, they need to go back and read the Word. Bless God, He'll put as much on you as it takes to break you. He'll put more on you than you can bear, because if He didn't do that, then you wouldn't need Him. We don't walk in our own power. We don't walk in our own step. Bless God, we better be trusting in Him. Because the Bible said if we would trust in Him and acknowledge Him, Brother Danny, in all of our ways, that He would direct our path. He'll make the path straight. He'll make the rough places smooth, and He'll give us strength to climb, but we need to be walking with Him. I want to go over the New Testament real quick as we try to get into this. I want to show you why we're not supposed to stay up there. I didn't say it's wrong to get up there. Miss Debbie, I like being on the mountaintop. I mean, my goodness, you can see far, far away up there. It's beautiful up there. But the only thing at the top of the mountain usually is a good view. Maybe a few Christmas trees. Maybe a few spruce pine. Maybe a few this or that. Usually the only thing up there is the view. Why? Because all the fertile soil has already washed off the top, and it's now somewhere between the top and the bottom, maybe even down in the valley. And you've heard it said, and it's cliche to say, that it's in the valleys that we grow. And that's truth. But I'll show you why we're really supposed to be somewhere between the valley and the top. And I'll show you that in just a few minutes. If you're in the New Testament, you'll start out with me just very quickly in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter, let me just put my glass on here just a second. Matthew chapter number 4 is where we're going to start out for just a little bit. Because I want you to see something. The Lord showed me some things earlier this afternoon as I was trying to study. And I've always wondered why He does what He does. Y'all ever try to analyze God? I do. I wonder what's God doing here? And why is God doing that? And I don't know why I do that. I'm just a curious person by nature, I guess, and I want to know what God's doing. But I'm going to tell you something. He's God, and if He shows it to me, great. But if He does it, it doesn't change the outcome. It doesn't change anything. It might change my perspective because I don't understand what He's doing, but I better still follow. But in the 4th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to see where the Lord's calling some people out. Just the same as He called you out, He called me out, He's called every one of us that's ever been saved by God's grace. He's called us into a higher calling. And then later on, He gave us a great commission to do that in which He called. So whenever I look at chapter number 4 of the book of Matthew, we're going to start out in verse number 18. The Bible said, and Jesus walking by the sea. Now, let me ask you this. Is the Sea of Galilee up on top of a mountain? Has anybody ever seen a sea on a mountain? I've never seen one up there. I don't know how they even have a pond above where I'm standing. But there's a little pond near my house. And Ben, I never knew the thing was there till the other day. We got a pond right there at the road. And that pond is it's always covered in algae and don't look like any fish in it. But there was a cow out the other day. And I thought, where's that cow come from? I'm going to find out who owns that cow so it don't get run over. So I drove up. When you say up, what am I doing? I'm going up a hill. I'm going upward. And I started driving up a hill. And I'd driven a little ways, Brother Tim, and I'm going up there to find out who owns that cow. And when I got up there was a pond up there. Now, I don't know how that pond was up there whenever that water level's up here, but there's a pond there. I don't know how that happened, but there's a pond up there. But when it comes down to the sea level, the Sea of Galilee is not up there, Brother Archie. It's at the bottom. But that's where he finds these men. And he sees Simon Peter. And we see, as you just read on with just a little bit, he said, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. Now, I want you to go with me to another passage of Scripture. If you're going to follow along with me, you've got to go there because you won't understand where I'm going if you don't. And you're going to have to go over to the book of Mark in chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3. As you're finding your place, let me just keep preaching for a minute. Let me just tell you about my mountaintop experience. When God saved me, took me up there. And since I've been saved, I've been up, I've been down, I've been in the middle, I've been all over the place. But for about the last year or two, Brother Ben, I've been on a mountain. It was a long, lengthy stay up there. Maybe I got up there too long. Maybe I just stayed there too long, and being up there too long, it took away from the ministry down here. But I want to show you something. When a man's got a good home life, I mean, got a wife that loves him, and she's pretty to look upon, and she's there when I get home at lunch. She's there when I come home at work, and she's supportive, and she's praying for me. She's done a great job raising our children. And speaking of children, we've had obedient children. Honestly, they've never given us an ounce of trouble, and I don't mean to ride anybody whose kids have given them trouble. I will pray for yours, and you continue to pray for mine. But they've been obedient, brother, and that's a blessing. And that's what I'm talking about in my walk of life. God took me from a little old mountain valley up there in the country, Brother Kim, a great little church on the side road. And bless God, he took me from there and brought me here. And I've watched continual growth. We've seen spiritual blessings here. We've seen souls saved. We've seen regular growth. And bless God, we have great services here. And I've got a great church behind me that loves me, Brother Tim. He brings me people in, people that never been in my path before, and all of a sudden here they are, and now they're praying for me. And my God, you cannot tell me that this preacher is not a blessed man. He brought my brother and my dear sister-in-law and their family into my life. Honey, have we ever been out to eat or anything in 30 years until this past year? My God, you can't tell me that God didn't do a work right there. My God, that was part of the blessing. And Brother Grant, it's been that way. My whole life has been blessings and blessings and more blessing. But this last little bit, Miss Melissa, I mean, God has just blessed me. And I've been up there, Brother Jody, on that mountaintop, and I've been riding that big wave. I've been up there experiencing God's blessing. I've got faithful workers calling a family to do something. Man, they'll go overboard and just go out of their way to work and just labor and labor until they can't even labor anymore. And just that's the way the whole church has been, and that's the way God's been in my life. He's given me a deacon board that loves me, and they're just faithful to the work of God. And that's the way it's been, Brother. I've been up on the mountain. Been up there way too long, and it seems it's time now to do something. And you'll see that in just a minute. I want to show you. We're going there in just a minute. But in the book of Mark, chapter number 3, we're going to take that reading. Where was he at? Last passage I read, where was he at? He was down by the sea. He's down low. What was he doing? He's calling men. He's got Simon Peter, he's got Andrew, he's got James and John. He called them from the low. Now look in Mark chapter number 3, where he's got them now, starting in verse number 13. You said, you're taking this thing out of context. No, he's got the same ones. And now he's about to ordain them. He called them while they were low, and look where he has now taken them. In Mark chapter number 3, verse number 13, the Bible said, and he goeth where? Where? Up. We're going to climb. We got to go up. We've been at sea level. We've been low. Brother Ben, we've been down in the muddy grubs. We've been down here basking in our own pity. We've been down in our own little pity party of one. We've been down here, and misery does love company. I'll assure you that. When you get down there and you start waddling around in that misery, I bless God, let me tell you, misery does love company. The next thing you know, your wife's down. And if your wife's down, the family's down. The kids are down, and everybody's worried about daddy. Everybody's worried about mama, whichever one gets down. And that's the way your household runs. That's the way my household runs. And if you're not real careful, bless God, that's the way this house will run. And bless God, if you ever see me down, and bless God, I'm going to get there. I've gotten there before, and Brother Danny, I'll get there again. Bless God, if you ever see me down, you better find you a secret place. And you say, Lord, help my pastor. Lord, help my people. Help whatever it is. Bless God, if we're to bear one another's burdens, and we better be doing that. If we're going to bear one another's burdens, bless God, my burdens are your burdens. Your burdens are my burdens. And if we don't bear those burdens together, one of us is going to come up on the short end of the stick. But here he's got those same ones that he's plucked from the low, and he's taken them upward. Look what it said. He goeth up into a mountain, calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Who is it? Here they are. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. You say, how you know it's the same ones? Keep reading. And Simon, his surname Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother James, surname Boagernes, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he went down to the low, and he got them, and he took them unto a mountain. Look what it said. He said he took them up into a mountain. We're going to go over now. I've got, like I said, I'm going to be mainly in the New Testament, but there's a reason I'm doing that. I started out in 62nd Psalm because this is the power of God working in the heart of the overwhelmed. When he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that's going up. Who's the rock? The rock's Christ. Where am I? I'm beneath the rock. I've got to get to him. So here we are. Flip with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. I'm sorry. Well, you can stay there, but Matthew chapter number 5. This is after the Mount of Olives, where he's given the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse, if you will. The Beatitudes, some call, and the Similitudes, and all these other things. But anyway, as he's given the Sermon on the Mount in chapter number 5, in verse number 1, the Bible said, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And then you will start in verse number 3 of the 5th chapter. There's not a break in your black letter writing except that something man has put in there to help you with the understanding of the scriptures. But you won't see another time that was not red letter until you get over to the very back end of chapter number 7 and verse number 28. Which leads us right into verse number 1 of chapter number 8, where it said that he was come down from the mountain. You said, why are you bringing all that up? Because we don't stay up there. We don't dwell there. We get there occasionally, and sometimes we stay too long while we are there. But I want to show you what happens. The Bible said as soon as he come down, in verse chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Bible said when he came down from the mountain, the great multitudes followed him. And almost immediately, you go back in Matthew between 5 and 8, and you read that. If you'll chart out in chapter number 1 of Matthew, you read the genealogy. You read through chapter number 3, the works of John the Baptist. You see the temptation of Christ in chapter number 4. You see him call his disciples in verse number 18 of that 4th chapter. You see the temptation of the Lord. You see the ministry as of the Lord begin. But then you don't see the earthly miracles. You don't see the earthly things start until he comes back down from that mountain. You don't see it. It's not there. So are we just supposed to stay up there and enjoy the view? Are we just supposed to stay up there and bask in his glory? Are we just supposed to stay up there and thank you, God, for bringing me this mountaintop? No, bless God. We better bring the grace down to the godless. I mean, bless God, that's what he's called us to do. We better bring the love of God down to those that feel unloved and those that are unlovable. Because there's some people in this life that are just purely unlovable. You couldn't love them if you want to. It's the child molesters and the perverts and the pedophiles. It's those of the baser sort. But Tim, they're not worthy of my love no more than they're worthy of yours. Lord. But bless God, they're worthy of His love. And how in the world is He going to save them except that we take the love of God to them? We've got to bring the grace down to the godless. We've got to bring the love of God down to them. Brother, we've got to bring the word down. The word of grace and of wisdom and of love and of mercy. We've got to bring that off of the mountain. Why? Because, brother, 10 people live low. They live down there in the valley. And that's where I was at. That's where they were at. That's where you were at when the Lord came and saved you. We weren't supposed to stay on the mountaintop. We got to get down there low once in a while because that's where the work's done. That's where the soil is fertile. That's where the grace needs to be applied. And let me tell you, my friend, I wasn't worthy of God's grace, Brother Ben, but bless God, He showed it to me. Somebody left their mountaintop experience and come down to the lowest of low and showed that grace unto me. We've got to take that down to them. We got to bring the Word of God in a simplified version, not talking over their head or around their heart. Bless God, we got to get right in their path, and we got to tell them that, bless God, I know you're low. I know you're depressed. I know you're discouraged. I know you're broken. I know you're hurting. I know that you're grieved. I know that your heart's broke. I know that you're sick. I know that this is going on in your life. And there's all manners of things that bring us down to that low point in life. And bless God, every one of us get to that point of low esteem in life. I mean, things happen. Circumstances come your way. They come my way. Our children do things that disappoint us. We get disappointed in so many areas of our lives. So many things happen. But bless God, we've got a God that loves them the same as He loves us. And if we're just standing up on the mountaintop praising God, we're not going to help them down there in the lowest of the valleys. Brother, I'm just being honest. We ain't supposed to stay up there. Oh, I like being up there. Don't you? Woo. Is there anybody here that does not like a mountaintop experience? Raise your hand. See, we all do. Brother, ain't there something about getting up there on that very top? Brother Chad, don't you like being up there? I do. I love it up there, Brother Woody. I like feeling the closeness. Brother Jerry, you feel like up there the air is thinner. It's easier to breathe. You go up there and the humidity seems to be just not as bad up there. There's a slight breeze up there. I mean, everything just seems better when you get up there to the high country. You ever notice that? Sam, don't you like being up there once in a while? It's nice. Very few people would say, hey, let's go down to the landfill and look around. Why would you do that? Why would you go to the refuse place? Why would you go to the low? Now, I know we got to go down to sea level. We got to go to the beach. We all do that. We get away. Brother Lewis, say something about the mountains. Or especially something about that spiritual mountaintop. You ever get up there? Well, ain't it special? Closest I've ever been after my own salvation experience. My personal self, I'm not talking about, I got there real close when Macy got saved. I got there real close when my daughter, Mara, got saved. And I got there real close when I got to baptize Miss Cindy. I got there whenever God called me to preach. I mean, bless God, Brother Grant, He found me faithful, putting me into the gospel ministry. Bless God, I've got a greater title than that of Donald Trump or Kim Jong-un. Amen. I do. I've got a great title. I'm a preacher of the gospel. It doesn't get any, for a man or for a boy child, Brother Chris, it doesn't get any better than the Lord placing His hand in you and putting His spirit in you and enabling you to preach His word. Is there anything greater than that? You standing up there before the crowd expounding that blessed book, telling people how good God is. Brother, it don't get no better than that. You do it well. You do it well. But brother, let me tell you, at the best we could ever do it, brother, we're coming up way short. Yes, I promise you that. But aren't you glad that He used you? Amen. Aren't you glad that He saw something in you that you could be used? Isn't that almost a mountaintop experience every time you get to stay? Isn't that? That's great. But brother, how come? I want to ask you a question. You've done it longer than me and Chris and the rest of us put together. How does it go, Brother Chris? From being up here, preaching this blessed book. I mean, waving the old banner high, shouting it out, telling God, everybody how good God is. How do we get from right here? I mean, at the high point of our life. I mean, the day is done. I mean, we're down to the hour of the preaching, but the singing's done. And it's time now for the preaching of the cross. And here I am. And bless God, God's putting His word in me. And I'm spilling it out. I'm just preaching as fast as I can get my mouth open and my lips can move. I'm shouting it out, telling y'all about how good God is. About get out of the low living and live up here or get off the mountain and do some work down there. And then how do we go from that mountaintop experience, Brother Chris? From there, Danny, how far is that church? 80 feet. Ain't that what you told me one time? It's 80 feet. How do we go from a mountaintop to a valley in only 80 feet? By the time I walk from there to the back, Satan, his demons and imps and demons from hell has already jumped on me from there to there and said, you just made the biggest mess that ever was. You are the biggest failure. You're the biggest loser that ever broached the page of that book. And next thing you know, Brother Chris, I'm back there believing it. Y'all will come out and somebody says, good. I said, I just feel like I made a big mess tonight. And Brother Woody, that's the way I feel. Most time I get out of the pulpit, I think, golly, what a mess. Wilkes County term for you folks that's from Wilkes County, that's a gom. Y'all ever heard of gomming? Y'all gomming? Y'all know, y'all okay with gomming? I just feel like I just gommed that up. Now this will go out on the web, Brother Jody, and somebody's other side of the world says, who's gomming? Say, gom that up. Get your dictionary. Look up that word gom. I don't know how you spell it. Is that like bomb? Chris, how do we go from being lifted up and exalted, taking God's word, something so precious and something so holy? I'm almost, Brother Kenny, like, bless God, I'm like Enoch sometimes. You remember Enoch? He walked with God and he was not because God took him. Sometimes I believe God could just take me on out while I'm preaching. Right. That happened to old Birch Handy. He's over at Old Fashioned Baptist Church. God just took him in the pulpit. But how do we go from a mountaintop? How do we go from a man that's got a beautiful wife and family, a wife that loves him and kids that are obedient, a church that loves him and deacons that support him? How do I go from a church this size and everybody's walking in unity, lock, stock? It's just like it said in the Bible, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And everybody's walking in unity. Amen. Why do I feel so low? Why do I feel so abased? Why? What happens? I'm telling you, my friends, a lesson in humility here. My mountain moving experience is this. The mountain didn't move. It was me. I told you I was going to tell you about my mountain moving experience. Y'all were thinking, oh yeah, he got a couple of grains of mustard seed. He got some faith. He's going to say that mountain yonder, be thou removed and cast thyself into the sea and it shall be happen. No, that ain't what happened. The mountain's still standing. I'm the one that moved. My position changed. I'm somewhere between the top and the bottom. And if you ask me Sunday, Brother Lewis, I was at the bottom. I was looking up at that insurmountable object in front of me, which is the mountain. It's the church. It's everything before me. It's my marriage. It's my family. It's everything before me. And I'm looking up at it thinking, how can one man be such a failure in so many areas of his life? That's where I was at Sunday. I'm looking up at everything and thinking, everything I touch turns to just pot. It goes to pieces. But then I start to remember how good God is. And God starts showing me this mountain. And I'm all over the place tonight. I know I'm preaching all over the place. And I feel like I'm going all over the place. But God showed me, you can't stay up there. You got to come down to where the people live. I'm like, Lord, well, where do the people live? He said, they live down there in the valley. They're not always up there either. They've got cancer. They've lost family members. They had a brother to die. They had a daddy to die. They've had a miscarriage. They've got somebody in the hospital. They've got cancer. They've got church hurts. They've got all kinds of problems. You stay up there just shouting all the time. No, you got to get down there. You got to get down there where they're at. You may take that love of God, take that dispensation of grace and give it into their despair because they need you. You got to get down off the mountain and bring that love of God down to those that are not lovable. At one time or another, man, we were unlovable. But in that while we were yet sinners. What happened? What happened? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly, Brother Kim. We ain't supposed to stay up there. We can't stay up there. We're going to be somewhere between there and the bottom. We got to bring the blessings, Brother Chris, to the accursed. There's blessings and cursings all day long in anybody's walk of life. You run into them, Brother Chris. They're saved or lost. They're up or they're down. We got to be open-minded enough to show them and try to be in their perspective. Do they need something today? Like I said, give God's grace to the graceless. Bring comfort to those that need comforting. I'm going back to our 62nd division of Psalms. It starts out with this, and I'm not going to be much longer. It starts out with this. What's the first three words of the 62nd division of Psalms? Somebody just burst it out. Where was I at? 61, 62? What did I say?
62.
Well, I don't know what 62 say. Maybe it's just as good as 61. That's good too. What did it say?
Truly my soul.
Truly my soul. Actually, the 61st is where I was going. What did it say? Where does it start, Brother Kenny? Miss Annette, where does it start? Where's it start? Where's it start? It starts out with a cry. Every one of us, if we're reading that same 61st division of Psalms, says, hear my cry, O God. That's where it starts. Whose cry? My cry. It's okay, Miss Belver, for you to pray for your pastor. Miss Shirley, I covet your prayers. I do. I love your prayers. Gene, when you send me that random text, or Brother Ken, or Brother Woody, or Brother Danny, or Brother Clayton, or any of you, and many of you do, all day long I'm getting texts from several of you saying, preacher, just praying for you. Preacher, I love you. Praying for you. I like that, and I need that. But you know when the real work got done, Miss Sam? When he heard my cry. I can pray for Archie all day long, and I should. You need my prayers, and I need the practice.
I need more hurt on
you. No. This started to fix itself.
Yes. Amen.
In the psalmist's heart and in my heart. The Bible said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Amen. That's what he says. Yes. You see, like I said, I've been to the end. You couldn't see it. Maybe I wasn't right at the end, but I could see it from where I was standing. You said, you shouldn't be that way. Then you go tell Elijah that. He just called the fire down from heaven, fell down and consumed the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the grove, licked up the water in the trench. I mean, brother, he's been there. He called unto God and said, God of heaven, stop this rain. And bless God, by a period of 3.5 years, it rained not. And bless God, he's down there by the brook. And God brought him bread by the ravens and brought him meat and brought him fish, took him to the widow woman's house, sustained him. Bless God, he could not deny how good God was. And then where do you find him after the prophets of Baal were slain, after the fire fell? Where's he at? Where's he at? He's in a cave. He's hiding. You know what I find when I get in my cave? I find other men of God in there. Moses, what are you doing in here? Where did King David go? He was hiding in a cave when Saul came in to relieve himself. David was in a cave. Where was Elijah? Where did Jonah go? He's hiding under a gourd, sitting under a gourd. Here a juniper tree. Here or there a cave. Here a back room. There a belly, a muggy, mully, grubbing, cry fest. There I sit. And you know what I find when I'm down there, Brother Danny? I'm not usually alone. Because I look over here and over there, somebody else. Tim, what are you doing down here? Get up. Get out of this cave. This is my cave. You go find somewhere else to mope. Archie, what are you doing in here? I looked on my right hand. No man knew me. Nobody cared for my soul. Everybody's got their low place. You said, did Jesus? He called his place Gethsemane. Do you find him any lower, Brother Chris, than you do in Gethsemane's garden? That's where I find him. Preacher, what are you getting to? My mountain moving experience has been this. My mountain's still steadfast. It's still there. My rock's still steadfast. And my cry should be, Lord, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. When I get into a craggy place and I can't go any higher, Lord, help me. Give me strength to keep on climbing. Don't make it easier that I go back down. Let me get up. He took those of the low and he took them to a mountain. He gave those the strength to do what he called them to do. The same as he's enabled me to do what I do. So if ever you see me down, pray for me. Help me, strengthen me, bear you one another's burdens. Because you know what? I'm going to get up. And when I do, you know what I might find? That you might be down. You ever been down? Boy, don't I know it. You've been down. But now I've been down. Let's just pray that we don't all get down at the same time. You know David got so low when Ziklag was burned with fire. He comes back and Ahinoam and his family's gone. His wives are gone and his daughters are gone. And Ziklag's just a smoldering heap of ruins. You know what the Bible said that the people did? The Bible said the people spake of stoning David. But what happened in that text? The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he asked the Lord, Lord, do we pursue? And God said, go get them. You're going to get it all back. And in that beautiful picture of the story, David took 600 men. He goes after them. They get to a little brook called Besor. David and 400 men go on. But the Bible said there were 200 of them that were so faint that they could not go over. They just propped up and stayed by the brook. David and those 400 went on, killed the enemies and haters of God, recovered everything they ever had, got every bit of it back, plus the spoils thereof. And when King David and them come back down by the brook, the Bible said that the king saluted them down by the brook. He didn't kick them in the teeth and say, you didn't go on, you don't get nothing. The Bible said he gave them back everything plus their share of the loot just as if they had gone on and helped him get it back. God knows when you're down there. And this king's going to salute you when he comes back by there and said, brother, did you get your refreshing? Brother, I've got some refreshing. I needed it. The only thing is, I'm sorry to y'all. I'm sorry that I hurt y'all. I'm sorry that I hurt you or you or you. Because when I get down, it hurts y'all. But bless God, let me tell you what. I'm not in the cave tonight. Amen. I poked my head out. You know why? Because when I was in there, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, Elijah, what's those next words? Somebody help me. What doest thou here? It's almost like the Lord said, Mark, what are you doing in here? And then I could start like Elijah and start saying, well, I am the only one left. Nobody as bad as mine. Nobody got as bad as I do. That's what he said. Lord, I'm the only one left. He said, don't you know I've hit about camps of 50 around? There's 7,000 left in the whole area. You're not alone. All he has to do is remind me, I'm not alone. Miss Macy, if you'll come to the piano. I got Brother Scott up here. I do have Brother Scott.